What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Contract talks between Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals remain at an impasse, and Cincinnati is listening to trade offers for their four-time Pro Bowl defensive end. Right now, Hendrickson remains with the team. They got a game tonight in Washington. He is on that trip. The sides have been in agreement for several weeks on the big numbers, the years and the money, but the Bengals to this point have been unwilling to do what they did for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, which is give guarantees beyond the 2025 season. Back before the draft, the Bengals had an offer on the table that was a second-round pick and change. At that time, they weren't willing to engage with that. They wanted a first-rounder. My understanding is that the price has softened or at least changed a little bit. At this point, the Bengals would want a player, somebody who maybe could even replace some of the production they got from Trey Hendrickson, as well as a pick in the 2026 draft.
So, could the Bills do that? Listen, it's been 3 hours, I think, since AJ Epenesa was traded, but... Mm-hmm. But on the show, I mean, like everybody calls in and trades Epenesa every day. That's a player you could send back and replace some of the production. And I mean, some you're talking fractional, but you know, Epenesa and a what? The offers at the draft were a second and change. I wonder if the Bills were offering a second and change.
Yeah,
the Bills had,
but now
picks, right? They had 2 seconds. The Bills had 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Were they offering Cincinnati, hey, give you a second-round pick for that guy? Probably not, because at the draft, they also would have needed to find the room to get that done.
And at that point, they would have already signed everybody except for, like, Elijah Moore.
And Cook. But yeah, like...
Right, but Cook doesn't affect this year.
Right, not this cap. In fact, he gave them room. You wonder if they had called Cincinnati and been told, under no circumstance will we trade him to you, which is why you go for Joey Bosa. Like, maybe the call is made... Mm-hmm. Much earlier in the year, because Hendrickson, this has been going on for a while.
Two years.
I'm sure it's no secret. So, anyway, there's Hendrickson from Tom Pelissero. Jeremy and Joe, you want to do Cincinnati? We got 14 teams in 14 days. We'll check in with each Bills opponent, a little bit of a preview. We talked to Joe Goodberry maybe a week or two ago. So, you know, that conversation about the Bengals kind of fits into this. 14 teams in 14 days, which is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown Engine Shield engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles. Cincinnati. They play tonight.
They play tonight against the Commanders. I think that's on ESPN.
It's the holdout bowl. The hold-in bowl. I'd seen some progress for Terry McLaurin that he's going to start practicing again.
He's been activated off the PUP list, but he doesn't have a contract yet.
I wonder if that's the James Cook track. Hey, let's get you back to practice, and we'll get back to the table. So we'll see about that.
But otherwise, I mean, the Bengals camp is that they didn't have Shamar Stewart at the beginning, and he's looked good, I guess, since returning.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic freak, didn't produce almost anything at college, but he's athletically like almost a 10.0 on the RAS score. But without Hendrickson there, I mean, new D coordinator also, Al Golden. They brought him in from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a change. But the personnel and the roster still doesn't look strong at all for Cincinnati. So, yeah, the story for them is that, one, Hendrickson is not there, and this has been going on forever, and it doesn't seem like a resolution's anywhere close. And then they're playing Burrow in the preseason. So, like, let's see if they could shed the, hey, we stink in week one thing that they've been going through for 5 years, or maybe the entire time Burrow and Zach Taylor have been there.
Didn't he already do that?
By what?
Playing in the first preseason game and playing great.
Well, no, but they have to actually go and do it. Like,
Right.
Like, but I mean, they're trying a different strategy, but they have this reputation, which is backed up with how they've played, for being terrible in week one.
Right.
And is it they're telling everyone through their actions they think it's because they don't play in the preseason.
That's right. And he threw 5 interceptions in a game against the Steelers to open the season 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And last year they lost to
New England
in their opener.
And this year they have Cleveland. It's on the road at Cleveland. Okay. If they lose to Cleveland, what are they going to be favored by in that game? I mean, I'm sure, actually, I know it's out. I don't know it off the top of my head.
The Bengals?
But they're going to be a huge favorite in that game.
I bet in I'm going to guess.
All right.
I bet the Bengals in Cleveland. By the way, the Browns are going to announce their starter
this week. Yeah. And it's going to be Flacco, I think. Sanders hasn't been healthy.
Okay.
And Gabriel hasn't been healthy. Pickett, I haven't
heard a word about all summer.
I'm sorry,
but if it's Joe Flacco, it's an absolute embarrassment.
Like, Flacco, they haven't even been playing. Like, they've been resting him in the preseason.
I mean, I guess you have to try to win games, but...
Why is it an embarrassment?
Because it's Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Because he came back for you, was it 2 years
ago? 2 years
ago,
and he made one comeback play of the year, which is the most absurd award ever given out.
And also turned the ball over a lot, and it was kind of like a joke 2 years ago, and you're back on it?
Yeah.
Man. Absolutely wild. Okay. Before we get back to calls here,
did you guess the line, by the way?
The line on Bengals-Browns. The Bengals are at the Browns. The line is 7.5.
7.5. Oh, look, it's actually not up. Hold on. I'll find it somewhere else. Why would it not be up? Hendrickson? That can't possibly be right.
No, it'll be up. Maybe because the Browns don't have their starter named.
All right, 7.5, you're guessing?
Yeah.
At DraftKings Sportsbook, the Bengals are favored by 10.
Okay.
On the road by 10.
So that's your Bengals preview for you. I want to get to something I arrived at on the Chiefs for you.
After watching Chiefs Kingdom, like, of course, you did.
Yeah, right. No, I just looked at the schedule. I looked at their schedule, and I looked at the Bills' schedule. The reason to look at the Chiefs' schedule was the news on Rashee Rice not likely to be suspended until at least September 30th.
Right.
Which means he will play or be available for Chargers, Eagles, Giants, Ravens.
Okay.
Three tough games. If he's suspended very soon after, that's Jaguars, Lions, Raiders, Commanders, Bills before their bye week.
Okay.
So what I was getting to, Joe, was simply this. The Bills and the Chiefs, on their first 8 games, the Bills' first 8 games and the Chiefs' first 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and Howard picks the Bills, but for the purposes of this, let's do it really quickly.
Sure.
You want to give them a loss to the Ravens to be conservative?
Sure.
Let's even do that.
Okay.
Jets.
Win.
Dolphins,
win.
Saints,
win.
Patriots,
win.
Falcons,
win.
Panthers.
Win.
So conservatively, if you want to even give them one more.
Conservatively, 7-1.
Give them one more loss. That's 6-1 because they have a bye week.
All right, yeah.
But 6-1, possibly 7-0, possibly 5-2.
Five and two seems like, fine.
Right.
5-2 is like almost a little bit of a disappointment.
Okay. Now do the Chiefs up to that exact game.
Okay.
Chargers,
win.
Eagles,
loss.
Giants,
win.
Ravens,
loss.
Jaguars,
win.
Lions,
loss.
Raiders,
win.
Commanders,
whatever
you want.
Loss.
What I'm getting at is, then they come here on November 2nd. I laid this out on Friday. How much would you feel comfortable saying that game, while it won't be for the one seed, will be for, we're not going to have to go to Arrowhead?
I feel like that is definitely...
If the Bills are...
That's definitely how their season should play out.
Yes. Bills are 6-1 going into that game, and the Chiefs are 7-2. Fine. Win that
game.
And
that's giving them a lot of credit.
That's right.
7-2 with
that
schedule.
Win that game, and I don't know if you'll be home for the entire playoffs, but you would have a stranglehold on, well, at least we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I feel like we're going to be here on November 2nd in pregame saying, all right, win, and you can pretty much cross off a trip to Arrowhead. If just on strength of schedule, the season kind of plays out in those first 8-9 weeks the way that it looks like it will.
Yeah, which is good because that will give that game extra meaning, which I think will be needed.
Yes.
Beyond the, oh, you beat the Chiefs in the regular season again. Congratulations.
Right.
Like, everything that about that game will get said in that tone. But if you have, because it's amazing, It's amazing the Bills have beaten the Chiefs in all of these regular seasons, and only one time have they not had to go to Arrowhead, right? It's never been, hey, you always go to Arrowhead because you can't beat them. It's been, you always go to Arrowhead because you mess it up in other games.
Yeah.
And this year, their schedules are looking like that. That can't happen this year. This cannot be a year where you're going on the road to Kansas City with their division being what it is, with the Bills' division being what it is, and what their schedules look like. Cannot have a worse regular season record than them. It's part of why I don't really, I can totally see a scenario where they don't have to play the Chiefs at all. Because I think their road is tougher. And I think them getting through it is going to be a lot harder than it's been in past years. Not being the one seed, not getting the AFC South winner in round two. I think that might be more than just, I would hope, of course, that's more than just, hey, you don't have to go to Arrowhead in the playoffs. It's, let me really throw their season into, you are fighting with Denver.
Yeah.
Let me put you down there. I'm good in my division, and I'm fighting with Baltimore for the one seed. I'll handle that. But go ahead. Have fun with the Broncos. See if you can hold them off.
803-0550. One other quick note, one of them mentioned here. So the Browns have signed rookie receiver Isaiah Bond.
Okay.
3 years, $3 million, fully guaranteed.
Okay. Here are the Browns, all these fully guaranteed contracts.
Well,
huh?
Why'd they give Isaiah Bond $3 million fully guaranteed? Because he's a free agent. He right. didn't get drafted.
Right, so he can...
So he gets a $53,000 signing bonus and fully guaranteed base salaries the next 3 years. He went undrafted after being accused of sexual assault in April. A grand jury no-billed the case last week, and Bond is in Cleveland. And one thing I wonder, were the Bills going to consider it? Would they ever have considered it? They met with him everywhere. In the pre-draft. He was all over their board. Had to be. Why do you meet with somebody five, six times?
Mm.
Not because you're not interested. So Bond would have been a potential target. Mm. He doesn't get drafted. He's available last week. He signs with the Browns, 3 years, fully guaranteed $3
million. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe the case... Maybe Bean doesn't want to, like, let's just not go there. They did their due diligence. Mm-hmm. They don't like what they came out with. Who knows? Maybe in the six visits, they took him off their board. Or maybe, up until right now, they would have thought, well, if we do it, who are we getting rid of? More? You have to create cap space. Not much. It's like $1 million.
Well, to put him on the roster. Because that's kind of what Cleveland just did.
Right. Put him on the roster.
Because it's not just, hey, we bring him in and Wilkerson goes away.
Right.
We bring him in and he's expected to make the roster.
He takes Moore's job or Shaver's job or...
It could be Moore. Moore is the post-draft ad. And if they had met... They met all those times with Isaiah Bond. If he had no legal trouble at all, whatever happened there doesn't happen, then he gets drafted in what? Day two?
The second or third round.
And if the Bills were the team to do that, they are not signing Elijah Moore.
No way.
There's no chance.
In fact, there's a lot of things different if they draft that guy.
A lot of things are different. so at that point, I think
no one calls us Jerry and Joe.
No, they've drafted a receiver in the second round. So Moore, I think, is kind of, in a weird way, his replacement.
Yeah.
So with him here...
Well, that's
and getting guaranteed money this season, I don't really see how they would coexist.
But what I'm asking is, the case gets no billed.
Yeah,
which is not exactly the same as like he was cleared. It's like it's not going to move forward.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, whatever. I'm not.
Oh, you know why? Because is Judkins the one who got it like thrown out? Whatever. The Browns have a bunch of different things going on.
And anytime something like this happens, thrown out, toss any term you want on it. It doesn't always mean that cleared of wrongdoing, so without dipping too far into those waters.
Correct.
All I want to say is if the Bills were confident, good on this, clean on this, to yesterday, would they have been sitting there thinking, man, we can't. We wish we could. We kind of can't. We're kind of strung up at that position now. We don't have the space. If they had not signed more,
how hard?
Then they might have the space. I'm not...
Yeah.
whatever. I'm not here to second guess the Moore signing just because they needed the help and he's here. But this is a player in Bond that they were all over in the pre-draft process.
I guess I would ask them if they were still wondering about him. If you thought he was a second or third round guy, how hard, how much of a lift really would it be to do what? Clear one spot and add $1 million per year? Or is it three, by the way, was it $3 million total or $3
million
$3 million total. Okay, so like I'm adding
$1
million per year.
Sure. It's not, to me, it's not about the space. It's about what it would say.
I think if you thought he was a second round guy, you'd just cut Elijah Moore. If you think he's that good, maybe they didn't though. Maybe they thought he was a fourth round guy. Maybe they thought he was a fifth round guy. But if they thought he was a second round guy, you say goodbye to Elijah.
His cap hit this year, Isaiah Bonds, is $857,000.
That'd be like saying right now I wouldn't trade Elijah Moore for a second round pick and eat the dead cap, which I think is absurd. If a team called you today and said, "We'll give you a second round pick for Elijah Moore," you go, sure.
Right.
We'll do that." But I don't know that they had Bond rated that high. Maybe they thought he was a fifth round guy.
They just met with him every day.
Well, maybe all the other receivers they met with were day three guys, right?
That's right. Torrey Horton, Isaac Teslai, a lot of those.
And that was his Bond. That was his only projected. Last year, Troy Franklin was projected as like an early second round guy. He went in the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So that can happen.
I just wonder if they would have had a conversation about him right now as he signs his three-year, $3 million deal.
It's also possible these teams, they said this with Hairston, right? Like, they do their own due diligence, whatever, on all those situations. It's possible that while Bond got whatever, you know, what was the term again?
No build.
No build. He might have got that no build, but maybe the Bills did their own due diligence that, yeah, we don't like what we see here. So even though he might escape league discipline, yeah, we're not comfortable with it.
Right.
And the Browns right now are a team that looks like very comfortable doing a lot of things.
Nothing makes them uncomfortable, right, the Browns. CJ in Buffalo is up. Hey, CJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I don't know if you talked about it this morning already. I just tuned in. But is it me or does Elijah Moore look, I guess, for lack of a better term, underwhelming? I say that, and then you guys talk about other receivers, and I think Shavers in the preseason looks phenomenal. It's just the price that they paid for Elijah Moore in comparison to Shavers. I honestly want to think that he's going to stay on the team. I don't know what Brandon Bean thinks or how they feel about the cap or how much they have invested in this year. But I view it as you can't take games off. Yes, it's preseason. No, one game does not dictate exactly what kind of player you are. But you can't take games off. Can you imagine a regular season if Shakir, not that he did it on purpose, but he took a game off? Just like last night, I just can't see Elijah Moore doing that. You can't catch a pass from Mike White. What do you think you're going to catch from Josh Allen? It's going to be a rocket. So he dropped a screen yesterday, and my brain was like, what is happening? You're a little player. We expect you to catch those passes.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it is, though, for me, it's one play in a preseason. And sure, maybe Shavers has looked better camp and preseason all the way through. But you're right. Like, they are at the salary cap, and what would Shavers make on the team? $1 million? More you have to pay no matter what. So you would cost yourself, Shavers has to be $1 million better than Elijah Moore. And has that been true? And does it even matter? Because Moore, like, at some point I do want to care more, I think, about what they've done before. Shavers is a undrafted guy that probably has a limited ceiling. In college, even, he didn't put up crazy numbers. And Elijah Moore, again, a lot of this is like what I thought of him coming into the league. I loved him coming into the league. And I think there are some numbers that point to there's actually a decent player in there. And I'd want to see that out still. I'd still want to explore that in the games that matter, not Mike White's throwing the ball a little bit low and he dropped it and we're playing the Bears in August.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of I'm on metaphors here, I guess. You know what I'd like to be? Not bailing water at that position all the time. But I do think they're better than they were last year. And
as we even said earlier, the guys that matter are Palmer and Coleman.
Right. I said that my latest evaluation of the wide receiver position is it will go as either Palmer or Coleman goes. Shakir will be good. Kincaid will be good. The backs will be important. If you want that position to be good, it's probably Palmer or Coleman that makes the difference. Moore, you know, you've kind of laid out, Joe, what are the chances I'm going to watch Tyrell Shavers put up big numbers this year or be involved heavily in these games? And it might not be all that likely. Could Moore? Sure. If he's in the middle of the field, the Bills could throw there a lot and get him. But to how big of a difference would he be than Shavers in the same scenario that you kind of laid out? Like, what, am I going to watch the season and see Elijah Moore with 100 catches?
Not 100, but I mean,
100 targets?
I thought that the possibility of him catching 50 passes is possible. And for Shavers, I just don't. I'm not saying it's likely, but I think that's in there. And for Shavers, I just don't. I don't even think there's a shot. If he's on your team, he's at best doing what Mac Hollins did for you, which is blocking and doing the dirty work and
lead you in touchdowns
with five, right? Right, maybe he does that, and he's catching 300 yards. Like that is a huge win. Whereas with Moore, I just feel like there is more. There's more in there. The best case scenario for him is, sure, maybe Coleman isn't taking the step that we thought, or maybe Palmer isn't as good as they thought, and, oh, well, we have this guy here who's a good separator, and he caught 40 passes for me.
Just to give you a little context here, Isaiah Bond gets more guaranteed money than every single pick after round two.
Wow.
But
so that's the Browns valuing him at a second round price, basically.
But all the third rounders make more cash through 2 years. One of the things that works for Bond here is it's a 3-year deal. Like if Bond shows up and plays great in year one, year two they're talking extension. Again, that's a long ways away. But he's a speedster
we had guests on to talk about him in the pre-draft process.
Yeah,
maybe one guest.
We at least talked to Zach about him.
It might have just been Zach.
It might have just been
off air, honestly. I did say earlier, by the way, that like that Moore screen yesterday drop would have gone for like 2 yards. That might have been. I just rewatched it. He might have got like 15. So it would have been a play.
Dinner, private workout, pro day.
This is the Bills
Bond
with
yeah,
Bond.
Yeah. Let me pull up the full list. Zoom meeting, like they did everything with Bond. He was on the list of multiple visits. So he's in Cleveland now with the Browns. Yeah. Combine, dinner, pro day, private workout,
mm-hmm.
and top 30 visit.
Speedster. Would have liked that speed on their offense somewhere.
803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe getting in about the Bills. 38-0 shellacking at the hands of the Bears. It was a rough one. It's a rough one. Caleb Williams looked good. Good for him. And Ben Johnson, like, good for them.
You said you hate the Luther Burden 87. How do we feel about Williams wearing the 18 still?
It's fine. Peyton Manning wore 18. It's fine.
I think I wish he was taller to wear 18.
Yeah. I mean, Burden
should. Still short for 18.
Burden should be wearing a number like 10.
10?
Yeah. 10, 11.
But don't you want him to win 87 back for the wide receivers?
I don't think we can wrestle it away from the tight ends.
I think it's over?
I don't think 87 can be.
I mean, the two best tight ends ever wore it.
Right. Gronk and Kelsey. So, it's over. We can't win. Listen.
You would need Burden to be like a 2,000-yard receiver. Yeah.
We can't get 87 back from the tight ends. That belongs to the tight ends. If you have a phone call to throw our way, we're wide open on the other side. 803-0.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
550 on WGR.
I'm going to tell you a story.
All right, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Owen and Josh here as well. Quad box. Let's go quad box. I want to go quad box on the feed. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't spring that on Owen too fast. Can you just... Is it a one
it's
button?
One button. Brother, I'm a professional now, all right?
He's ready.
I got it on lock.
Quad box. Let's go. Owen went to Fenway this weekend.
I sure did.
All right.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I'd never been. My dad hadn't been since his bachelor party a couple years before I was born. So for Father's Day, I had heard him talk about it maybe once on the show. And I was like, I should get us out there to see a game at Fenway. Like, I've never been. I've always loved the Red Sox and Fenway itself. Mm-hmm. And he's a huge baseball romantic, and just it's very sentimental for him. So I was like, we should go watch a baseball game in Boston and go take a weekend down there. So this was the weekend we got.
So you arranged it, too.
I originally wanted to get the tickets, and then he was like, let me see if I can put a few feelers out. Okay. And he ended up doing that, but it was beautiful. It was a great weekend, a beautiful day. We flew down there. That was where we kind of splurged. We were like,
yeah,
if we drive down, we got to leave Saturday morning. We'll get there at like 2, games at 4. Not going to be able to do anything. Let's fly down there.
So day trip, in and out, Fenway. In and out.
Flew in. Mm-hmm. We landed at 9 o'clock. We went and got breakfast and went and walked around the whole North End. It was awesome. Saw the Paul Revere House.
Love the North End.
Old North Church. The everything.
The Freedom Trail.
Yes. It was awesome. Unbelievable. And then went, had some lunch, a couple beers, and then went to the game. And, like, oh, walking into Fenway was like a religious experience for me.
It's tiny, isn't it?
It was, oh.
It's so small.
I was crying. I walked in. I was like, this is overwhelming. It was incredible. So,
nice.
Super fun game, too. They beat the Marlins. I don't even remember what the final score was, but Story had a good night.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Hot dog?
Super fun. Oh, yeah. Fenway Franks. That was.
Peanuts?
The number one thing that we talked about the whole game was, like, these vendors rock. Like, these guys are awesome.
Yeah.
They're walking around with the giant carts on their head of beer and hot dogs. And, like, it was just all part of it. It was really great.
Does Bulldog still do the thing with the peanuts in the beer?
Oh, yeah. We did not end up doing peanuts yesterday, but absolutely.
I
do it, too. It's awesome.
For those that don't know, you soak the peanuts in the beer before you eat them?
Yeah, drop them in the beer, yeah.
Yeah, you crack the peanuts and drop them in the beer. They get the peanuts all salty, or they get the beer salty. Peanuts get all – it's a good –
Why wouldn't you just pour salt in the beer?
That's a weird thing to do.
Aren't you able to do
the same thing? You're telling me it makes it better. Why don't I just take some table salt and dump it in my beer?
Because it doesn't have peanuts.
Yeah.
You need the peanuts.
The peanuts are, yeah.
And I think, is this the thing I made up in my head? If something has lost carbonation, you throw a little bit of salt in it, it'll recarbonate a little bit.
That can't be possible.
I don't know. I don't know anything about this.
That's
this
the
is
thing.
A major
It recarbonates
discovery.
It?
Yeah.
It's probably more effective than when, you know,
adding
like
salt,
kids try to blow the bubbles back in through the straw.
No, okay. It does not recarbonate it. It causes the dissolved carbon dioxide to be released, making the drink go flat.
Oh,
so the opposite.
It's kind of thing that someone probably told me once. You're like, look, the bubbles come out. Like, oh, yeah.
Right.
That must work.
But that's making it flat.
It's the opposite, yes.
I just found a YouTube video, a $5 carbonation machine. So
wow.
We'll be testing that out in science class later.
I mean, you could just get a soda stream. Those work.
Those are pretty cool.
They are pretty cool. So Owen went to Boston and Fenway. Nice. Very nice.
It was great.
Home of Liverpool's Bank, as Sammy P calls the Red Sox.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Liverpool's Bank.
I got this
bank.
Sweet, the Fenway hat that's like, I never realized that these
I
sort
do
of
like the Fenway
green
hat.
Hats.
Yeah.
I was like, what's that color? It's weird. It's the color of the
monster.
The wall. It's,
yeah.
it's
yeah.
the color
They're
of the stick.
Their City Connect uniforms this year were the wall.
Yeah.
And like well, the font was the scoreboard and everything.
I think the City Connects were the blue and yellow, which is what they wore.
Okay.
I think those are the City Connects. The Fenway, those green ones.
I've seen the green ones too, though.
Those are, I think those might be a different specialty thing, but they were wearing the blue and the yellow, which was cool to see.
No, it's 2025 City Connect.
It is the City Connect.
The blue and yellow were last year's City Connect.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But those were sweet too.
Nice.
Cool to see that. The catcher's gear looked really good with the blue and the yellow. It was a very cool notice.
I haven't been to Fenway in a long time. I think I only went once, not twice.
I've never been.
It's great. There's a Bills backers bar.
Should get there.
In it?
There is.
Yeah.
What do you mean in it?
I mean like, under the outdoor
there's a
bleacher. Yeah,
garage door that opens up like in center field that's glass. Like you can see into the bar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Bills backers bar in there.
Yeah.
Which
really?
I had no idea about.
Yep.
Which is really cool.
What's it called?
But it's like in the stadium. Like
it's inside. It's inside Fenway.
It's inside Fenway.
And it's got like these windows we've got right here, but it's a garage door, and there's you see people in there, and then they close it for the game because I don't think you can watch the game from in there. I don't think they let you.
Bleacher bar.
Bleacher bar.
Makes it's a Bills backer bar.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, good stuff. Good stuff.
One ballpark I'd have to get to. Would that be number one, or would I go Wrigley first?
That's got to be number one, right?
Like one, like you just make sure you do this one. Fenway? Mm.
I feel like it's Fenway.
I've been to both. Choosing.
Are those the right two to pick, by the way? Those are the right two to pick, right? Because the history of it? Sure.
Yeah.
PNC is awesome, but there's
it's
not. Very,
it's great.
It's not
great.
The same historical icon.
I also can't bring myself to give the Pittsburgh Pirates money.
Right.
Will in Buffalo. Hey, Will. Good morning. Hey, Will. You're up. All right. No Will. Sorry, Will.
Apparently not.
Was that Will Levis? We can only assume. I'm going to start doing that. When calls drop off, I'm just going to assume it was that's Will Levis, but he must have something going on.
So that's what you did this weekend. I went away and had a three-day fantasy football trip with the guys that we've been doing this with for 17 years for. Our place we were at had an indoor pickleball court.
Mm.
I've never played pickleball, and I instantly became like the biggest pickleball fan that there is. Have you played?
Is it your identity now?
Not my identity, close. But I want to get good at it.
We got to get a league.
I mean, I'm already decent at it, but I was playing against guys that also I think had never played it before.
I've never played it. I would only assume
it's awesome.
Is easy the wrong word? Is it easy to pick up and fun?
Yes, it's easy. It's easy to pick up if you've got a moderate level of athleticism.
Isn't that kind of the point of that? Like I hear about it is it's like anybody can kind of do this, and it's fun.
Definitely,
you'll find different people at different levels of it, but it's kind of just
for sure. Pick but it up and go. There still is like an opportunity to like run down and make like crazy shots.
Yeah, right.
Like you could run like between the legs.
Oh yeah, I did try that at one point, and it did go actually. It did actually go okay.
You have to try it. You can't play tennis and not try it.
No, I definitely did. The other guys were not happy about that at the time. Like what are we doing? We're showing us up in pickleball. But you can do crazy shots.
All right. Yeah.
And you do have to run a little bit.
My weekend included. I went to the local hardware store for a quick run and stuff. And you ever have one of those things where there's a meme online where a guy will lay out like five or six things and his wife or girlfriend will pick them up. And he's like, pick up this. Now pick up this. Like pick up the tongs. And does she click them together? Like the things that you just...
I have never picked stuff up tongs without clicking them together.
Or pick up the football and you throw it up in the air to yourself. You have to do that.
Yeah.
That happened to me at the hardware store because there's this big giant display and there are these 170-gallon tubs for storage. You store things in these Husky brand, whatever, 170-gallon tubs. What did I do when I got there? I opened that thing up.
Of course.
Unlatch it, look inside.
Yeah.
Yep. Nothing in there.
Yeah, that's right. That looks like about 170 gallons. Yeah, it's a lot. It's pretty big. Put it back down, close it.
Yep.
What do I have? I don't even need for that.
No.
But I can't not.
You got to look.
I got to open that thing.
Yeah.
I got to look.
Just to see.
Yep.
Because otherwise you'll be thinking the rest of the day about what might have been
in there. I wish I had opened the latches on that 170-gallon tub. How do you not do it?
Yeah.
I used to, when I was building houses as a carpenter, in the morning I would get there. I was always early for whatever reason because I was an OCD freak. But I would get there and I'd go in the trailer and I'd just open all the toolboxes and just look at all the tools.
Yeah.
It's like, I like the drill, like, oh, the drill works. All right, cool. Battery's charged. Nice. Like, all that stuff.
Every time I go, I'm walking up and down the power tools aisle, and I am just thinking, what do I need? What do I need in this aisle? I need something.
Right.
I need something. And I'll, pick something up. Like, I don't even know what this does, but I probably need it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have this. We got the quad box. Josh is over here just silent, preparing for Everton's big tilt this afternoon.
Hey, listen, they're playing the prime time. Swamped. That's what matters.
Prime time.
3 p.m. I'm ready.
This is like when the Jags and Titans get put in prime time.
Oh, come on. That's a disservice to Leeds and Everton.
Leeds is back.
Leeds is back.
Leeds.
I'm bet Leeds today.
I'm confident today. I feel good. I think they're going to do all right today.
Good.
And by about 3:37, my afternoon will be ruined. And
does it start at 3?
You're confident?
Yeah.
You're confident? Where's the game?
Actually, I'm not sure.
Are they open? This is not the new Everton Stadium?
It is.
Opening?
It's at Leeds.
At Leeds. Okay. Leeds is favored.
Well, that's disappointing. I was hoping it was going to be home.
Leeds is favored over Everton. Give me Everton being relegated. Enough of them.
Come on. They've never been relegated.
Get them out of here.
Their existence is the worst existence in sports.
They've never been relegated. How many teams can say that?
They live to draw and be boring. Everybody. It's every game 1-1 is a great job by them every single week.
It's always a hard fought point.
And it's annoying.
I think we have an accidental maybe nickname. Yeah, thanks to Steve who wrote in. He wrote everybody eats in the quad box. We should be calling this the everybody eats quad box.
Mm. Wow.
We're all here. We're all splitting the screen.
Somebody sponsor it.
Just, you know, four squares on the old YouTube feed, four of us at the same time.
I like it.
Everybody eats.
I like it.
Dave in Arcade on Fenway. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, this was a lot of chime in.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
On the baseball experience with the father. My dad, I'm from a family of 16, and the only major league park I've ever been to was in Toronto because my dad was a Dave Steve fan. And who do you guys want to see? Me and my brother wanted to see Oakland. Well, we're going to go see Kansas City because he liked George Brett, too. It was experience of a lifetime. It's like walking into a cathedral.
Yeah.
Even that crappy stadium, but it's something I carry with me. It was 35 years ago, 40 years ago, but it's just you can't compare going to a major league game with your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A whole like that. So
thanks, Dave.
That's all. And we got to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame too. So I got my picture taken next to the Stanley Cup.
There you go.
Very nice. Thanks, Dave.
I will say there would be something. That's why I thought of Wrigley and Fenway right away. Is going to, he said cathedral, like a venue that, like, this has been happening here for 100 years, which football just doesn't give that to you.
No. Right.
Like, we're celebrating the stadium this year as it goes away. There's a ton of great memories, obviously, in that, but it's 50 years. This is 120, if not more.
Yeah, it was, like the caller just said, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life.
Are the seats still really small?
Oh yeah. We were in a little box seat. Yeah.
They're tiny?
Oh, dude, you cannot imagine how small these seats are.
Interesting.
I felt, me and Dad are...
Why are they so small?
Because it's ancient.
It's 100 years ago. People were small.
Well, they've replaced the seats?
Well,
I assume they've renovated.
It's all,
they're old school.
The capacity's not that big to begin with. Bigger seats means fewer people.
Yeah.
Isn't TD Garden the same way? Like, aren't those seats also really tight together?
No idea.
That one I don't know.
I remember, like, reading something one time. Somebody went to a game at TD Garden, and it's just like you're on top of each other because the stadium hasn't been upgraded in years.
No, you're right. Their capacity is, like, exactly the same as it was when it first opened.
Yeah. I mean, except for the seats they put on top of the monster.
Right.
Right.
Which, that'd be pretty cool to sit up there.
Oh, believe me, I thought about it, but then it's a lot of money to be up there.
I believe it. 803-0550, it is Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock. The Bills, of course, just absolutely kind of no-show there in Chicago with the backups. 38-0, Bears win. Next preseason game will be Saturday against the Bucks. And tonight, Bengals and Commanders. So we'll see what comes of that tonight. You can give us a ring. Of course, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show has your phone calls as well, all coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay. So, yeah, here we go, Extendo Sports.
I think we got the unofficial end of postseason bans in college sports.
Because this Michigan weekend got fined $1 billion.
Yeah, but even the NCAA wrote in their whatever announcement that they believed wholeheartedly that what Michigan did deserved a postseason ban, but that it wouldn't be fair to, what, the kids and those that run the program now that are no longer affiliated?
Hmm.
Which has never stopped them before.
No, that's right.
Which I think is just cover for, yeah, we don't have the authority to,
it's also,
to keep these out of the postseason.
That's part of the supposed to be the deterrent is you will ruin this for other people.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, I guess the other reason why is, this is part of it, they don't have the authority to. The college football playoff doesn't have to adhere, I guess, to the NCAA's postseason bans.
Right.
So they could say, Michigan could get a postseason ban and then go undefeated. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to be in the playoff. So the NCAA just knows, well, it's not going to matter anyway, so why do it? Let's just find them. Michigan. Ohio State, Texas, by the way, that's week one in college football. Number one versus number three. Just found that out this week that that was actually the matchup in week one. Awesome.
Yeah, August 30th.
Mm-hmm. 12 days.
It's big noon kickoff. What time is kickoff?
That's got to be a night game, right?
You would hope. It's at noon.
It's at noon. Noon.
Noon.
Noon week one for number one versus number three.
Noon.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Listen, I like that we are allowed to complain about games being on too late and also too early. If that game were not...
I might like it at noon for that big a game.
Noon. Yeah, I call it big noon kickoff for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. Jared, hang through the break if you can. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up. They can hopefully help you out a little bit here.
Yeah. Diana Rossini just had very quickly. The price, the Bengals are asking for a first-round pick and a young defensive player. That's their exact asking price for Trey Hendrickson. 2026 first
but
and a young defensive
but
player.
But it does not have to be a pass rusher.
Doesn't say that. Just says young defensive player.
Can I interest you in
Cole Bishop?
Oh.
Sorry.
I wonder if he's the next, well, whatever, person to be traded every day on the air. Okay, that's it for us. We're back tomorrow. Bills lose 38-0. Buffalo Bills football Monday, kind of. We did all right.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.